morning, everyone. I am so excited to share what God has on my heart today. I would love to start with a verse from the Bible. Would you all stand with me in honor of God's word? Thank you. It is 1 Peter 2:1 through 10. It says, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.' So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to. But you are a chosen race, a holy priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Let's pray. Jesus, I just want to thank you for this morning. I want to thank you for your love, and I just ask that your spirit would flow through this place, Lord, that people would be able to feel your spirit, and I ask that your words would be spoken through my mouth, and that the listeners' hearts and their ears would be open to you, and that new identities and fresh wine would come to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I would like to start out by telling you a little bit about how I found Jesus. So point one would be finding my destiny in Jesus. I grew up in a Christian household, and we never really found a church that we felt like was home, but we knew Jesus. We were hanging out with Jesus once in a while, and even at school when I was little, I would be like, "Yeah, Jesus is my best friend," and people would make fun of me, and I didn't really care. but that kind of changed as I grew older. I started to live for myself, and I started to do things my own way and put Jesus on the side burner, kind of put all the focus on me. And in high school, that led to me being open to my friends affecting me and causing me to like look at pornography and get into lust. And it just separated me from God, and it separated me from Jesus and his presence. But for the most part, people knew me as like the shy kid, right? So the teachers loved me. I got straight A's in school, and yeah. And then I graduated in 2014. I got a couple of stomach illnesses that put me out for a couple years, and I found myself at the age of 21. I was 21 years old, working at Costco, and I had no identity, no purpose, no drive. I'm like, what am I gonna do? And it was on August 18th, 2017, my parents, they asked me to come to a John Bevere conference at the Eastside Princeton Club, and he was speaking on eternity. He was speaking about his book, Driven by Eternity, and I found purpose in his words. I found purpose in Jesus that day on August 18th. I gave my life to Jesus. I went up front. And for a while, there was a battle between who I was. There was a battle between my old identity and my new identity. And the shame and the lies of the enemy were trying to attack me. They were trying to tell me, "You're not worthy. You are not worthy because of what you did, because of what you looked at. You cannot come to the Father." And those were lies from the enemy. There was a continued battle for my new identity. And the problem was I had confessed Jesus and I incorporated it in my life, but I wasn't in like full sacrifice. I didn't know who I was. I was confused. And then Jesus gave me a verse. It was James 4:7. Submit yourselves there to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He will flee from you. And I still had the question, how could he ever love me after the things that I had done? And then I saw in Psalms, it says in Psalms that his thoughts for you outnumber the grains of sand on earth. Do you know how many grains of sand are on earth? I looked it up, actually, because I was curious. 7 quintillion. And that's a rough estimation. 7 quintillion, or 500 quadrillion. That is so many thoughts. And his thoughts outnumber that. He gave everything. He died for you. He thought you were worth it. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. A new creation means a new identity. So who does Jesus say that I am? And I remember in Belize, I went to Belize with the Activate Youth Group, and one morning, Pastor Derek, he gave us all these I am statements, and it just started to affect who I was. It started to mold into my identity. And first and foremost, in Galatians 3:26, it says that we are children of God. I am a child of God. It says, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons and sons of God through faith. In Romans 6:11, it says we are dead to sin and alive in Christ. Dead to sin and alive in Christ. Come on, that's so awesome. Ephesians 2:10, we are God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are chosen by God, Ephesians 1:4. We are loved by God, John 3:16, one of the most known verses. We are loved by God, no matter what. It doesn't matter what we've done in the past. We are loved by him, and that is part of our identity. We are free, John 8:32. We are free in Jesus, secure in Jesus' hands, John 10:28 through 29. We are secure in his hands as he holds the world in his palm, right? That's so cool. We are the light of the world, Matthew 5:14. We are the church and the body, 1 Corinthians 12:27. We are a joint heir with Jesus, Romans 8:17. That's so cool. I want to read that one. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. We are a chosen generation, a holy nation, as I read in the starting verse. A chosen generation, a holy nation. We are overcomers through Jesus' blood and our story. Overcomers. And finally, we are rooted and built up in him by Colossians 2:7. So now that you know who you are, and that's just part of your identity, this is just a sample of what the Bible and Jesus say that you are. Your old self is dead as soon as you gave your life to Jesus. So it's time for all of us to wake up and become who we were meant to be, who Jesus calls us to be. It's because of Jesus that we can live without guilt, without shame, without the bondage of sin. Sometimes I hear people say the phrase, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. And it's time to stop putting the emphasis on how weak our flesh is and start showing the strength of the spirit, right? Yeah. It also says in 1 Peter that we are being built up as a spiritual house, right? So he's laid the foundation, and now it's time to start building with him. What does that look like, though? How do we build a house with Jesus? Do we just get some hammer and some nails and start building? No, we have to start with understanding what Jesus did for you. And I think Todd White said it best. He said, once you understand the price heaven paid for you, then you'll understand that the cross isn't just the revealing of your sin. The cross is also the revelation of your value. Something underneath all your sin had to be very valuable for heaven to have gone bankrupt just to get you back. And just repetition of reading the Bible and knowing your identity and knowing what Jesus did for you. There was one song by Corey Asbury that I was listening to, and one line said, "The one who made the world somehow thinks the world of me." Remember 5 quintillion? Another way of driving your identity into who you are is just simply spending time with Jesus, simply talking to Jesus, and just being with him like he's your best friend. The best way to do that is like setting like a specific time in your day, every single day, to spend time with him. It doesn't matter what that looks like. It could look like worship. It could look like dance. It could look like just talking to him, just praying. It could look like some people like the arts and painting. But that spending time with Jesus has to be what your life is built around. There are so many things in your day that will try to come in between you and Jesus. There'll be work. There'll be hobbies. There'll be even church can come in the way of you and Jesus can come in that time. So you have to set that time to be with Jesus, just you and him. Reading your Bible. Did you know less than half of evangelical Christians read their Bible every day? Less than half. We have to read our Bible. We have to know the Word of God if we are going to know our identity and do what Jesus calls us to do. And the more time we spend with Jesus, the more time we read our Bible, the clearer our identities become. Getting in community. Connecting with the many amazing small groups we have here at City Church and the many, many amazing people here that will push you further in your faith. Mentorship. There are so many amazing pastors here that I'm sure would love to mentor you. There's Joyce, there's Tom, there's Joe, there's Derek, Andrew, Pastor Sarah, Pastor Chris, Joel, Greg, Nathan. For over the past couple years, Pastor Derek has mentored me and helped me grow in my faith, and it has transformed me from being this shy kid who would sit in the back and not talk to anyone to one who is unafraid of proclaiming how good Jesus is and how awesome he is and his love to the world. So now that everyone knows your identity in Jesus and you know what he has called you to do, what are you going to do with what the Lord has given to you? What are you going to do with it? So this just comes to my point two, proclaiming the light in the darkness. Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I want you to be intentional. Jesus wants you to be intentional when you go out into the world. If you knew your value, then you would know how Jesus sees other people. I think of a song, it was by Cast and Crowns, it's an old one, it's called If We Are the Body. It says, but if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? We have a representation of Jesus. We have to represent him in everywhere we go. Because it says in Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We have a job to do. We have to work with Jesus in the world. If we're the only one in our workplace that knows we're a Christian, then something is wrong. Because our workplace and the places we shop and the places we go, they're our missions field. That's where we get to talk to Jesus. and talk about Jesus. It's not just in church. It's not just in church. City church shouldn't be the only place that gets to feel the intimacy with God this week or next week or the week after that. We have to share it, because if we just keep it here, that's selfish. That's not fair. We have to share the love of Jesus. And there are people out there who know you are Christians. I want to ask you something. Does your life exemplify the gospel? Do they see Jesus in you? Because we have to represent him. We all have the ability to be a witness. Every single one of us. You do, you do, you do, you do. You all have the ability to be a witness of Jesus. Everyone has a redemption story. I can't tell yours and you can't tell mine. So we have to work with Jesus and go out and tell our stories. Because by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, right? It says in Romans 10, 14 through 15, how then will they call on him in who they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How beautiful are your feet when you preach the good news. And I was thinking, even the little things count, guys. Even the little things of knowing someone's name, of creating a relationship with someone. You see someone every day, oh, hey, Jim, how's your day going? And you just show them that kindness of Jesus without even mentioning his name. I think of Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I kind of think of Jesus in the Bible. Jesus was always busy. He always had something to do, but he was never in a hurry. Never in a hurry. He always made time for every single person that needed it. And in these people in your life, Jesus wants you to speak. He wants you to speak life and love and encouragement and truth and healing over these people in your life, in the people that you work with, in the people that you spend time with your friends, people who don't know Jesus. The simple things could have a far greater impact than you could imagine. There's one thing that usually stops us from sharing the gospel. And that's the fear of man. It says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. And in 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Are you willing to be persecuted for your faith? If we're not willing to talk about our faith and suffer ridicule and shame from people of the world, then no one else might will. No one else might. We are sometimes, or most of the times, we're afraid to look like fools, like we're afraid what people are gonna think. But we're never gonna talk about Jesus if we're afraid of that. We have to come over. We have to cross the chicken line, as Tom says a lot. Have to cross the chicken line. If Jesus was willing to die on that cross, then we should be willing to look like fools and go out into the world and talk about Jesus. From this point on, we get to decide if we're going to be a slave to the fear of man or if we're going to talk about Jesus. You have to decide, though. You have to cross that line and do the work. This is on Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you. He is with you when you pray for people. He is with you when you talk about your testimony. He is with you when you walk on the street every single day. He's with you holding your hand. And in Joshua 1:9, one of my favorite verses, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He is with you in the workplace. He is with you when you're with your friends. And when you stop being afraid, when you cross that chicken line, it feels really good, right? Yeah. So you're thinking like, you're about to pray for someone, and you're like, God, should I pray for that person? And you know you should. You know you should. And you finally do it. And it just feels so good to be in line with what Jesus wanted you to do. And I was thinking, what would we do as a church if we weren't afraid to go out? How many people attend every week? Is it like 300, 400? Higher? 500? All of it. Yeah. 1,200 people. What if 1,200 people prayed for someone once a week? Or what if 1,200 people gave their testimonies to someone who didn't know Jesus every single week? You know the impact in Madison that would have? The impact that would have? It would be absolutely amazing. So I want to go back to Revelation 12:11, and they have conquered him. They have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. That's so cool. And I was just thinking about my testimony and how Derek started investing in me in 2018. And he planted seeds in me and he helped me grow as a Christ follower. And then once I learned these things, and once he taught me and helped me in my faith, these seeds began to grow. And I began to plant seeds around the people around me. And that started in the kids and youth group. And it is so cool what's happening right now. We have middle school boys right now, and they are going out and they are praying for people, praying for complete strangers. And that's so cool. I love that so much. It's the boldness. And then the seeds that they plant into those people, that they continue to grow. And who knows how many seeds are being planted from that and how many seeds are being planted from that. It's like a huge domino effect of just Jesus happening in people's lives. By the word of our testimony. By the word of our testimony. It doesn't matter if we've been a Christian for 3 days or 30 years, or if we're in eighth grade, or if we're 60 years old, we should be on fire for Jesus. We should be ready to go out and talk to Jesus and talk about Jesus to the world. We cannot be lukewarm. We cannot be Sunday Christians. We need to be Monday Christians and Tuesday Christians and Wednesday Christians and Thursday Christians and Friday and Saturday Christians. We have to be with Jesus all the time and be willing to give our testimony and talk about Jesus to people. It's time to burn wherever we go. It's time to wake up to be unashamed of the gospel. The worst thing we can do is be silent. The worst thing we can do is be silent. It's time to go against the grain of our society, as Tom said a couple Sundays ago. Embrace abandonment to Jesus. Be in full surrender of what he calls you to do. I want you to say to Jesus right now, I want you more than a safe life. Can you say that with me? I want you more than a safe life. I want you more than a safe life. I don't want to be comfortable anymore. I don't want to be comfortable. I want to go out and I want to look like a fool for you, Jesus. I don't care what people think. It's time. And I want to challenge you guys. I want to challenge you just like we challenged the middle school guys. I want to ask you to go and pray and talk about Jesus to complete strangers this week. Just find one person, push yourself, cross that chicken line. I know you can do it. It's hard sometimes, but I know Jesus is there with you and he'll help you through it. Let's pray. Jesus, I just ask, Lord, that you would just give everyone boldness and courage in praying for people and talking to people about Jesus. I pray, Lord, that these new identities, that these new identities would seep into who they are, Lord. I pray that we would know that you are with us, that you are holding our hand in every step of the way. And I pray most of all, Lord, that the things we do are only for you. And that we do these things out of love and not out of striving. And thank you, Lord, for everything that you do and your love and your presence and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.